Please be seated. Amen. Just we have a longing to know God through His Word in our lives, this church. It'd be good to, if you want to open your Bibles, that'd be good to have Matthew 28 and verse 20 open this morning, or just to be having it going straight into your hearts, straight into your minds, that we want to be a people who are following on with that instruction that the Lord Jesus gave to those disciples right at the beginning, that we are to be teaching others to obey all that He had commanded those first disciples. So we're thinking this morning that we need the Word. Trust you got a sheet as you came in, so you're able to follow the message, and we'll be able to consider God's Word together this morning. So on the 1st of April 1986, something happened to me that has happened to many of you in this place. Not exactly in the same circumstances, but something similar. On 1st of April 1986, I joined the valuation office. I became an employee of the valuation office. Some of you heard of the valuation office, some of you won't. But what did I do on my first day? I had induction. So I don't remember the details, but I think probably three things took place. I had to watch some things, I had to read some things, and I had to sign some things. Is that familiar to a lot of you? Being in employment situations, you've had induction, and you've started off in your new employment. And then what? And then what? Is that it? Well, no, it's just a start, isn't it? It's just a beginning. Then you've got to learn how to do the job. You've got to learn who does what in the office. You've got to learn how you go about getting on with the relevant things that you're supposed to get on with in the office or wherever you are employed. It's just a start. It's just a beginning. And if that if that learning doesn't take place, if that awareness of what the job involves doesn't take place, I'll be useless, won't I? I'll just be simply useless. I may have done induction, but I'll be useless. Okay? Now, that has relevance as regards to what we're looking at in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 to 20 in particular. Because we become disciples of the Lord Jesus, and that's magnificent when we acknowledge Jesus as Lord. It is the big event of our lives. And then we're baptized. Wonderful. We are, in a sense, going through our induction ceremony when we're baptized. This is our declaration that we are on the Lord's side. We are now the Lord's. The induction takes place when we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then what? And then what? We need to learn. We need to be taught. We need to gather all of the relevant information and all the relevant teaching into our lives so that we will go on to be strong Christians, to function for God and to fulfill what He wants. To function for God and to fulfill His purpose in our lives. So that is what is happening in Matthew chapter 28. What does our scripture say to us this morning? That we're to be taught. We're to be taught to obey. We're to be taught to obey everything that the Lord has commanded, given to those first disciples those years ago and given to us today. And where do we find all that we've been commanded to do? We find it in which book? Children? In which book? Everybody? In the Bible, isn't it? In the Bible. That's where we go to today. So to be a strong, healthy Christian, you need what? You need the Bible, don't you? You need to be taught. To be a strong, healthy church, what do you think Feltham Evangelical Church needs to be a strong, healthy church? It needs the Bible, doesn't it? And we need to learn the Bible. We need to live the Bible. We need to be taught the Bible. The Bible needs to come into our church. So that's what we're thinking about this morning. We're thinking about how we are to be taught so that we will function for God, so that we fulfill our purpose for God. Do you want to be for God? Okay, children, I want to say to you, this is the life. This is the life that matters. This is the life that God has called us to. It is the life of purpose. It is the life that honors God. So, what's our first point this morning? It is, what is to be taught? First point this morning is, what is to be taught? What do we need? What do we need? What do we need to receive? It's simply stated in our verse when he says, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 20, the final part of our statement is, everything I have commanded you. What do we need to be taught? We need to be taught everything I have commanded you. This is Jesus speaking. Now, some people might go at that point. Some people might go at that point and think about, we need to, have you come across red letter Bibles, everybody? Come across red letter Bibles? What do you think? You know what a red letter Bible is? A red letter Bible is where every statement concerning the Lord Jesus is written in red and all the other statements are in black. And so we'll think, well, that's all we need. Well, I'm going to say to you this morning that we, when the Lord Jesus is not just thinking about every statement that he has made literally, but he is thinking about how we need the whole Bible to understand all of his commandments. The Old Testament, put it like this, the Gospels, where are the Gospels, everybody, in the Bible? What are the Gospels? The Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those give us the life and teachings of the Lord Jesus as they're described to us. In a sense, it describes the commandments of our Lord Jesus. But the Old Testament, why do we need the Old Testament? Because that prepares us for all of the commandments of the Lord Jesus. And then what does the book of Acts do? What does the book of Acts do? The book of Acts proclaims all the commandments of the Lord Jesus. And then what do the books from Romans through to Revelation do? They explain all of the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the whole of the Bible is needed when we're thinking about being taught all the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, all that he had taught to those first disciples back in those years before. We can understand it today, to mean that it's all of the Bible. So we're an all the Bible people, okay? We need all the Bible to be able to understand all the commandments of Jesus. If you ignore the Old Testament, you won't get to the heart of what it is for Jesus to have brought all the teaching and to have been on this earth to live and to die and to be raised again. We need all the Bible. So we need to have a full Bible and we need to fully understand all of the Bible. So Paul, when he went down to a church in Ephesus, he could say what about his experience there? What did he do when he was down in the church at Ephesus, when he was teaching them? What did he do? It says that he didn't hesitate to proclaim all the counsel of God, all the will of God, everything that was in the Bible. He taught to them so they might have all the necessary things. So everybody, Feltham Evangelical Church, all of us, we need to be studying all the Bible. That's a lesson for us this morning. All the Bible needs to be read. And some of us have been going through the Feltham journey, which is a great thing to have in the church, which we've done. We're coming towards our second time of doing it in the church, and we've nearly come to the end of the New Testament again. God willing, in January, we will be starting again with the Old Testament and reading through. But the Feltham journey is a great thing to have. But you can have other schemes for reading through the Bible. But we must read through all of the Bible. And we must hear all of the Bible. And if in this church you feel, well, I'm not hearing some of the other parts of the Bible, just I'm hearing the New Testament, or I'm not hearing from the Old Testament. You come and speak to the leaders and say, yes, we want all the Bible. We need all of the Bible. Second thing I want to say, as we're thinking about what we're taught, we need all of the Bible here, and we're thinking about how Jesus is the center of it. It doesn't say, the Lord Jesus didn't say here, teaching them to obey all that Moses has taught you. Teaching them to obey any other leader from the Old Testament has taught you. It's everything that Jesus has taught. Jesus is the key to understanding the Bible. Jesus is the key to understanding our lives. It's like this. When you get Jesus in the right place in your life, then you've got life in the right place. And it is the Bible that tells you how to have Jesus in the right place. What teaches you to have, Jesus in the right place? It is all from Genesis to Revelation. So we are an all the Bible people, and we are Jesus at the center people. Okay? So if you do teaching in the home, mothers, fathers, if you do teaching in the church, always remember, if I'm teaching the Bible, I've got to make Jesus the center. He is the one who is the heart of the message. Jesus must be the center. So when we're teaching the Bible, it's everything that Jesus has commanded, and he is one we are to focus upon. Bringing all of those things in the Bible to focus on Jesus. And when we're focused on Jesus, our life is in the right place. Notice it says here as well. What does it say? What does it say? Does it say the suggestions of Jesus? Or the observations of Jesus? Or the recommendations of Jesus? What does it say? It's the commandments of Jesus. What's a commandment? A commandment is when you are told by someone in authority to do something. They come with authority. Well, that connects us in with chapter 28 and verse 18, doesn't it? All authority has been given to me on heaven, in heaven and on earth. Yeah. All authority is with Jesus. Yeah? Okay. He's the one who has the right to have control over our lives. The commandments of Jesus. And we take heed to them. And we follow them. And it's what Jesus said that matters. It's what Jesus says that matters. You know, Philip Venables could say something to you this morning, and I could make some observations about life. I could talk to you about Brexit. I could give you my views about Brexit. I could talk about what I think would be the implications for the UK. I could share some thoughts about how you might be helped at work. And you should all probably just walk out and say, I got better things to do this morning than to listen to that man talking about this and that. And dare I say it, if you came to the front and talked about Brexit or talked about this and that, it might be a similar observation, you see. Because what do we want? What do we want to hear? We want to hear the commandments of Jesus. We want to hear the word of the Lord. Okay? So very, very important. We're not bringing the newspapers to you this morning. We're not looking at the thought of the various bloggers this morning. We're not speculating about this and that. We are bringing to you in this church. We have had brought to us already. 1 Kings 21, for example, the authoritative word of the Lord. Okay? So ditch what I say. Hear what Jesus said. And Jesus is quite simply saying to us down the ages that we are to be those who teach others to obey everything that I have commanded you. And we are to be those who receive that teaching and we're those who give that teaching. Yeah? So that is so very important. So that's the first thing this morning, is what is to be taught? What do you think should be taught? What do we need to be taught? We need to be taught the Bible. We need to be taught that which focuses on the commandments of our Lord Jesus. All the Bible. Jesus at the center, with all of his authority resting upon it. No speculations, no thoughts of man. The word of God, the commandments of Jesus. Are we sold out for that, church? Feltham Evangelical Church, are we out for that? That's what we're sold out to be as elders. We want to be to the word and to the testimony. We want to go to the Bible. That's what we're about. Okay, second point then this morning. How is it to be taught? How is it to be passed on? How is it to be taught? How is it to be brought? As Christians, we need to be taught. As Christians, we need to be taught. Okay? Youngsters, you're growing up in life. You've got things ahead of you. You are going through a primary stage where you need to be taught. School is a place where you're taught. School is a place where you can learn. In different ways we can be learning. Now, as Christians, in order for us to move forward, we need to be taught. And the true Christian wants to be taught. It's a mark of being a disciple, because the disciple means a learner. So you want to be taught. Okay, I want to challenge you this morning. What is it to hear the Bible to you this morning? Okay, everybody, it's a big question. Big question, everybody. What is it to have the Bible this morning? What is it to have the Bible this morning and to want to learn from the Bible? Are you interested? If you're not interested in learning from the Bible, it's possible that you're not a Christian, that you're not a disciple. It's possible that you're not yet on the right side with God, and you must think about where your heart is. So test yourself. A mark of us being true believers is that we want to learn. Lord, I want to learn from your word. Lord, I need your word. Okay. So how are we to get this teaching? How are we to get this teaching? Well, we live in an age where we've never had so many ways of getting the teaching of God's word. Never had so many opportunities and different means by which we might get God's word into our lives. So we can read books. We can go online and read things online. We can listen to things online. And endless, isn't it? And of course, we must be coming to church. We must be in church to hear God's word and to consider God's word and to be listening to the word declared and taught by those who are suitably qualified to bring the word of God. Okay? So there are all different means, all different ways. But I want to put to you this morning that the heart of God bringing his teaching to his people is through his church. Brings his teaching of the word of God to the people of God as those who are joined in church. Now, that doesn't mean that we just get all our teaching in church services, but it does mean that the church are interested in all of your learning activities. Specifically, the elders of the church, as those who have been placed here, we are those who watch over you, as those who must give an account. We long for your spiritual welfare. So we long that you are reading, considering, listening to good things outside of church. You must be studying outside of church. You must be doing your daily quiet time. So as you're learning from God. Okay, and it's exciting that there are so many great teachers out there. But warning everybody, we can be led astray by so many bad teachers out there, false teachers out there that can be giving us teaching that is no good for us. So speak to others, speak to the elders of the church to check whether you are listening to good things or whether you're listening to bad things. We are sold out as elders, Mark, Zach and myself, that this church would have good teaching and that you will be having good teaching in all of your studies outside. Go and study at home. Get into the Word of God at home. It's so, so very, very important. Talk together. You've learnt. Okay? So we must be taught. Okay? And get good habits. If you want to get into studying the Bible, you've never started to study the Bible, let me say this. Start with the one chapter books of the Bible. That's a good way. And just get familiar with the one chapter books of the Bible. That's just a good way to start. And then you can start to learn from there. But the church leaders are concerned that we will be taught well, that we would have be listening to good things. But particularly we focus upon the way that God focuses on the people of God being taught through the church, through his church. God's arranged order is that we would all be connected to, associated with a church. And in that church, you must be taught. God raises up leaders. All elders are apt to teach, else they're not elders. But there are those who are specifically called to public ministry. But all elders are teaching and bringing the word. And you must be in a situation where the word of God is being taught in your church. The faithful teaching of the word of God is so very, very important. So that leads, you know, we long to bring the word of God in this church. But if you're not being taught in this church, I've said many times to it to you, it is, you've got to consider whether this church is for you. You've got to speak to the elders and say, I'm not being taught. Or you've got to think, if it is so bad that you think, well, I've got to go somewhere else. Because you must be in a situation where the word of God is being taught and you are coming under that word for the benefit of your soul. But when you're going to somewhere else, to another church, looking for another church, always think, are they teaching? Are they bringing the teaching? Because I can never function properly or fulfill what God has called me to be without being taught. It's a must. I will die without it. I will not live as a Christian without the Word of God living into my life. And when the Word of God is living into my life, I will have a life which is for the pleasure of God, which is what we are called to have. It should be our priority. Okay. So those disciples were called to be teaching the disciples that had been made, and that goes down onto the into the ages, generation after generation, into Feltham Evangelical Church today. So let's say, can we have some prayer? Pray for the raising up of teachers who can bring God's word. The church needs teachers. The church needs those that can bring the word of God. Can I also say as well at this point, you are what you eat. Is that true? If you see somebody, not always, but you see somebody, we might say, presenting themselves in a certain, a certain amount of weight on their being, you can often gather what diet they are having. And we are what we eat. Our health is determined by what we eat. So we must feed well. We must feed well. We must be feeding on the true nourishment of the true word of the living God. Can I say something about us being gathered together and the importance of being gathered together to hear God's word together? It's a special way that God works. Let's mention one thing, I don't think we fully grasp this, it's something to think about, that being gathered like this, there's a special way in which we all now are accountable to each other. We're all now accountable to each other as regards to how we are hearing the Word of God, how we're responding to the Word of God. Are we studying the Word of God? Yeah? So you have heard, and we've all heard together, and that by that we can be praying for one another, you know, praying that the word will be living in each of our lives, and praying about what we learn each week. Okay, I know a brother or sister is struggling with that, and we heard that this week, and we can pray about it, and we can talk about it as well. We can talk about, I heard that this morning, that's going to help me, that's going to help me to move forward. Or I wasn't quite sure about what that meant. Do you understand what that means? And we can just be growing together through the word of God being brought into the church. And obviously the other Bible studies as well. And Wednesday evening. I just want to focus upon, you know, about this issue then of how the word of God is brought, how it was taught. It affects the character of our services. It affects the character of our services. Are we here for amusement? Are we here for entertainment? Now, I want us to have appropriately, reverently bright services. Services which have real engagement with God. But we're not here to be frivolous. We're not here to entertain ourselves. We're here that we might meet with God, and particularly that we might have, as we're thinking this morning, the word of God brought into the life of this church and into our lives. So we need to be taught. That's my second point this morning. The third point, the first point focused upon what do we need? We need the Bible. Second point, we need teaching. We need the word of God taught. We need the word of God brought into our situations, and we need that for the health of our beings. The third point this morning is, what is to be the outcome? What is the outcome? As the word of God is brought, what is to be the outcome? Well, in the middle of our verse, you've got the word obey. You've got the word obey. If you've got another version, it may be, may mean observe. And the word has the idea of guarding or keeping. Okay? So this word is to be brought to people so that they have this word as a special possession that they might now live it out. Yeah. Two things that it really involves. It involves receiving and responding. Receiving and responding. Now, if I take the apple again this morning, the apple earlier, and I say to you, children, I say to you, here is an apple for you to eat. Here is an apple for you to eat. Okay? Now, the first thing that you've got to think about, are you going to receive what I say? Are you going to receive it? And you'll show you receive it by taking the apple, won't you? Then are you going to respond to the command and go and eat it? Okay. So there's a receiving and then there's a responding. And now that is what it is to be with the word of God for us. We are to receive it and then we are to respond to it. How are we to receive it? How are we to receive it? We are to receive it as the commandments of Jesus. We are to receive it as it says in the Bible concerning the Christians in Thessalonica, as the word of God, not the word of man. As the word of God, not the word of man. We need to receive the word of God into our lives. We have to get means by which this word doesn't go. What's the phrase we use? In one ear and out the other. Got to get it into our lives. Okay? We can't be keeping it. We can't be guarding it unless we get it. I think we're very bad at it. I think we're afflicted by our culture with regard to this. Very badly. And we're not aware of it. our forebears of many, I'll go back centuries here. They didn't have any of these means. It often didn't have books. Never mind all of the rest of the stuff they have today. So they had to have means whereby if they heard the word of God, they filtered it into their minds. They had to work hard to structure their minds so that they got this word hooked in there. Memory, words of memorizing it, words of processing it, ways of getting it there. And what do? Well, I can go home, man. That was just one message. I'll go home and listen to John MacArthur or John Piper, and I'll just get another message. And I'll just go to this and to that. Now, I'm not saying go and listen to John MacArthur, go and listen to John Piper, go and listen to other great preachers, please. But I think we just don't get a grip on getting the word into our hearts and minds as we should do. Really think about this. Think about memorizing scripture as well. So it's a very important thing. It struck me concerning the video that we saw last Sunday concerning Richard Fernbrandt that he had prepared himself for persecution. How had he prepared himself for persecution? How many scriptures had he memorized? He'd even memorized a scripture for the leap year, hadn't he? 366 scriptures he'd got in his mind. One for every day. He got it in him. So the first thing is we got to receive the word of God. We've got to get it into us. Obviously that means reading it. It means listening to it. But we've just got to realize that it's more than our necessary food. You have food every day. You get a meal every day. And that's beautiful. And you eat it. But this, the Bible says that the word of God is more important than our necessary food. So the first thing is, as regards to how, what is to be the outcome, we gotta receive it. We gotta receive this word. We gotta bring it into our lives, not reject it and say, I don't like that. Some people say, well, there's certain parts of the Bible, I don't like the Old Testament, it seems a bit nasty. I like the New Testament, it seems a bit nicer. Okay? We gotta have all the Bible. I'm not saying some of it's easy to understand, we've gotta have all of it. Now then, we've gotta respond to it. Okay, this is very important. We're not just a people of knowledge builders. Okay? We're not just the people who get stuff into our minds to sort of titillate our minds to say, wow, I've got so much knowledge. Can I just say, I do, now I'm not going to say don't do these things, but I am a little bit wary of Bible quizzes. I am a little bit wary of Bible quizzes. Why am I wary of Bible quizzes? Because they can just say, well, the person who can answer the most questions is the most spiritual. You know, somebody who knows what Zelophehad's daughters were called. Yeah. And they think, wow, aren't they very spiritual? Well, it's not quite like that. You can have knowledge of all of the 12 tribes of Israel, all the 10 commandments, all the days of creation, all of everything, all of the genealogies at the beginning of 1 Chronicles. And you can have them in your mind and you can be as dead as a dodo. Because you're not responding to the word of God. Now, this is key. This is key. This is the heart of it. You receive it. You've got to respond to it. The word of God brought has to be lived. The word of God brought has to be lived. Oh, no, we struggle. I know we struggle. But we can encourage each other. And we can seek the help of the Holy Spirit. But the word of God has got to be practiced. The word of God has got to be obeyed. The word of God has got to be implemented. The word of God has got to be responded to. Oh, I know we all fail and we're all hypocrites. You're looking at a hypocrite this morning. I say I want the whole world of the word of God and to do it and I fail. But that must be our agenda and our goal. Children, grow up. Grow up. Obeying the word of God. And as you obey the word of God, you will be able to function so that you'll fulfill God's call into your lives. The message of the Bible is not fully done until it is lived and worked out in our lives. Now, brothers and sisters, we need help. We need each other. I need you to challenge me, to rebuke me, to encourage me, to set me an example. I don't know how Christians survive without other Christians. It's a baffling thing to me. I'm not sure how long I would be around if I didn't have other Christians to be with me. We need each other so that we can respond, so we can be helped, so we can move forward. So let's work at it. Remember, these are commandments. They're not actual extras. And commandments are to be done. Commandments are to be responded to. Okay. So what is to be the outcome? It is to be the word of God is observed. That means we receive it. And that means we respond to it. Okay. Word of God flows out. Now finally, I've got four things for conclusion. Firstly, I want to think about preference. Preference. I want to give you a quote from Tim Challies. I said about things online. If you want a good blog to go to online, make Tim Challies, challies.com, your first port of call. You'll be well fed there. But Tim Challies says this: it is far better to hear a sermon on marriage by an unmarried man with an open Bible than an experienced husband who brings nothing more than his own wisdom. What do you think about that? Agree with that? Or think it's a bit iffy? I'll read it again. It's far better to hear a sermon on marriage by an unmarried man with an open Bible than an experienced husband who brings nothing more than his own wisdom. Okay? So, some of you are struggling with parenting issues. Well, there are people who can bring experience from parenting, but we don't want the wisdom of man, we want the wisdom of God. Okay? So preference. Preference is, I want the Bible. I want the teachings of God, not the teaching of man. Secondly, prayer. Now, I want to plead with you, brothers and sisters, in the life of Feltham Evangelical Church. I think if we get a hold of this message this morning, it's going to affect our prayer big time. It's going to really influence us about what we are praying for in the life of this church. So easily, we degenerate, possibly not the right word, but we focus upon those issues that are passing and they are, we might say, the minor details of life. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray about people going for an operation or suffering health issues or having difficulties with people. That is right and proper. But the big thing we need is the Word of God coming into each other's lives. The Word of God coming into Feltham. The Word of God in Feltham Evangelical Church. And we need to be praying. We need to be praying for each other this morning. There's a prayer we can all pray this morning, this as we go out into the week. I want the Word of God into the life of every brother and sister in Feltham Evangelical Church, because I love them and I want them to grow. So I'm praying for them. There might be a specific issue that you know somebody's struggling with. Pray for the Word of God into that issue. Pray the Word of God, the gospel of God in His Word going forth with mighty power. There is no transformation in anybody's life unless the Word of God is brought by the Spirit of God. And we can bring the Word of God, but we can only bring change when we pray to the Lord of the Spirit to bring His power upon that Word and to bring change into our lives. I can exhort you, I can jump up and down, I could even strangle you by the throat, but I'm not going to bring much change ultimately. The Word of God is only bringing change. The Spirit of God comes. And we must pray. Pray. Is that why we see so little? That our prayers are misdirected. So please pray. Third point is prioritize. Prioritize. What are your priorities in life? Every day I've got to say, I must have the Word. Now, some of you are busy at work. Some of you are busy with your study. Some of you are busy with bringing up children. Some of you are busy just surviving in life. But at least get something of the Word every day. Okay? Yeah. You have your meals. That's great. The Word, in a sense, is more important. Okay? You read the newspaper. You follow stuff online. That's great. If it's good stuff. But make sure you get the Word of God. And finally, my fourth P,
preference, prayer, priority. My final fourth P is passion. Passion. What drives us? The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. The thing that should filter everything this and drive everything of this morning, so that we might be a people who would function in order to fulfill everything in our lives, is that we realize there is a Savior who has done everything for us to bring us salvation, who has won us by his precious blood, as we thought about in the 9:30 service this morning, so that we're brought into this beautiful situation, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We can never be separated from the love of God. And we are to respond with a love which shows itself not in fancy demonstrations, but is simply in a transformed life which obeys God's word. Passion for God will be shown in obedience to the commandments. That love that is the appropriate response to all that Christ has done for us will flow out into a life of obedience to the commands. If you love me, our Lord Jesus said, keep my commandments. And that is no burden, as John would tell us, and as we would conclude this morning. If we have Jesus at the centre, we will just love to obey his commandments. Let's sing our final hymn. It's been good to be here to worship the Lord. Let's sing about how we are to be people who are focused on God, resting in his promise and determined to go forward and wanting to be for the Lord.